the first going from the first one, which is, you know, no anonymity at all, to all of the, I don't need to tell you either.
Yeah, I'm perfect, fine with no anonymity.
With not have, then that would be number one.
Okay.
Okay, and then I just need you to ask you to check there.
An
initial it, if you would, please. And then I also need to ask you to sign there.
Okay. Where? Here.
Mm-hmm. And then I'll just, I think, is there another place? Yes. Is there. I've missed that sometimes, so it's that signature is required. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
I've been doing these interviews with Laura Gray. Laura Gray does some and I do some. And I usually start at the beginning. That is when you first became aware, when your family first became aware that you had hemophilia and what that was like in your family. You have two brothers with hemophilia.
I have two brothers with hemophilia and one that does not have hemophilia.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. The younger of the brothers who has hemophilia had a tooth extracted. Let's see. I was probably in college, then first year of college. And they had a very difficult time stopping the bleeding. Subsequently, I was, I think he was in the hospital, finally had to take whole plasma to get it stopped. And they really didn't know what it was, because no one in our family had been diagnosed before.
And no history?
No, not that we were aware of. You know, we can look back now and see people in the family who probably were affected by it.
Mm-hmm. It had not been brought forward.
Mm-hmm.
So you were in college when that
I was
first
in college, and actually, and then as I was getting out of my first year of college, and then I took a break from college and I went into the Air Force. I came home. I must have been in the Air Force by then when John was affected, because I came home on leave and I was tested. Let me think now. My brother John, who had this problem in the hospital with the tooth, was the first thing. But they never really found the problem. They just eventually stopped the bleeding. Then my other brother, later, a few months later, by that time I was in the Air Force, had a problem with a swollen knee joint. And he then went into the hospital. This was happening just as I was going in. And then it was, with all the testing, they found that Jim had a factor 9 deficiency. So when I came home on leave, the family doctor, or the doctor that had checked out Jim, checked out me and found that I also had a factor 9 deficiency. So I went back in to the Air Force and let them know about it, and they ran their own tests, and one of the tests turned out to produce a hematoma in my arm, so they decided that they really didn't want any part of me, so they let me out then. But that I really had not had any incidents that I, at that time, connected to it. You know, again, looking back, I could see things much.
How old were your brothers? How old was John when this tooth incident occurred?
Let's see, he would have been probably 13.
And the other brother?
The other brother would have been 15.
And pardon my ignorance, but why was it so long? Was it simply that you had a mild form?
Mm-hmm.
And so you didn't have the sorts of incidences that other hemophiliacs might have?
Probably, yeah. Just pretty fortunate, really. I'd never had any type of surgery. I'd never had a tooth extracted, you know.
Never had any bleeds that you could look back and say, gosh, that hadn't healed the way it might have?
Well, yeah, I remember having a few crashes on my bike,
mm-hmm.
real early, and my leg turned black. But, I went to the doctor and they didn't, they said, don't worry too much about it, it'll take care of itself. And, it didn't bother me all that much, and it took care of itself.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about your family. Where did all this occur? Where were you living?
In Tennessee, near Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Could you tell me about your parents? What did your mother work? What did your father do?
As we were growing up, my father worked. He was a manager of radio and TV parts department at an electrical supply company. My mother stayed home with us until I think John got into high school. Then she began to work primarily as a secretary. She worked at the Methodist Publishing House for a long while.
Was either one college educated or?
No. However, my mother began sort of taking courses, going through great books sorts of things. She read everything she could get her hands on, was probably the most well-educated person I have ever known.
The reason I ask really is to get to how they approached, once they knew they had an issue,
mm-hmm.
how they approached that and how they approached the care and the follow-up and so forth. They had a 13-year-old who was
mm-hmm.
Now diagnosed. And
right.
So she was a person who went after information?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And how did she do that around the hemophilia as well?
Yes. She she became as knowledgeable as she could about it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably better informed than most of the doctors she ran into about it mm-hmm. back then. Obviously not the specialists, but the general practitioners. She certainly would know what to look for more than they did.
And what was the what was her response? Was she depressed at all? Was she just forward moving?
I think just forward moving
mm-hmm.
is a good way to put it. I didn't know of any depression around it.
Mm-hmm. Your father?
Father was pretty quiet about it. He, I think, was obviously concerned. We didn't talk much about it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't talk much about it with us.
Was that typical of him?
Yes. Yes.
Your mother talked about it?
Oh, yes. I had probably less problems than either of my two brothers,
mm-hmm.
and it was really only the third youngest brother who had the majority of the problems as mm-hmm. we grew up.
That was John?
Yes.
What kind of problems did he have? What was happening in the home around him? Your mother then become protective?
Well, to some
lifestyle?
Extent. I'm sure it must have to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, he wasn't allowed to cut the grass.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of us still were, even though.
Shucks.
We were probably about as affected as he was, but somehow he just had more problems than we did mm-hmm. with it.
Did he have many bleeds?
Not really a lot of bleeds. He had problems with cysts that would have to be drained, and then they would have to be very cautious mm-hmm. about medical procedures with him.
Cysts were hemophilia related, or?
I don't know that they were. I don't think so.
So he really faced a lot more certainly than you had, because
yep.
up until then you really hadn't had
That's right.
any issues.
That's right.
Do you live in a small town?
At first, yeah. Well, I guess even later. When I was five, we moved out of Nashville mm-hmm. because Mom wanted to be on a farm, so we moved out to this little community of Ridgetop, which had a population of about 300.
That's small.
Yeah. And we had a place, small place, right next to the school. When we first bought the place, there was a general store next to it that we turned out we owned with the house. And
but never operated.
Well, we actually did then.
I
began
did.
Running the store. When we first bought the house, there was no plumbing, so we had to put that in. The school was across our strawberry patch, and it was 3 rooms and 8 grades, and it had no indoor plumbing. So
the school didn't.
The school.
So you had an outhouse at the school.
Had 2 outhouses at the school, which regularly got turned over on Halloween.
So on the 1st of November, you had a problem.
Yep, that's right.
Is this an anniversary?
Yeah, that's true.
Did you like it there?
I did like it there, yes.
It was a good community.
Yeah, it was a very good community. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy it.
Yeah. Your mother was happy.
Mm-hmm.
She cut where she wanted.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was she a person, I gathered, they may have been people of great faith, Methodists.
Methodists, yeah.
Uh-huh. Was faith a big part of their
lives?
Yeah,
it was. Actually, they, before moving to the small community, they were Nazarene. And there were no Nazarene churches around, so that we went
so
to the local
Methodist. Is that very far apart from Nazarene?
No, not really. I think probably today Methodists are a bit more liberal than the Nazarene, but
mm-hmm.
I think very close.
Was the did your grandparents, let me ask you first,
mm-hmm.
and were they around there, or did they were they in Nazarene?
Yes, actually, well. Dad's mother and his mother's sisters and his sister lived together
mm-hmm.
still in Nashville. We had the first place I remember us living, we actually lived with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had our own place in Nashville until I was 5, and they stayed in Nashville. Then we moved out. It was about maybe 25 miles.
So you saw them?
Saw them. And my other, both grandmother and grandfather lived sort of about 20 miles in the other direction, so we would see them quite often. And then mother's mom and dad came up and actually ran the general store for a while.
That's
and
nice.
Lived in it because there was a place to live in the store.
That worked out.
Yep.
Did they have a bathroom?
Nope.
Did they ever have a bathroom?
Nope.
It was wonderful. Did you put plumbing in the farmhouse?
Yes.
Was your parents' reaction to be quiet about the news, the hemophilia, or to share?
Well, let's see. We moved again after that.
After that. You after moved that. Out of the small town.
We moved out of the small town into a town of probably about 5,000 people. So
was that because?
Well, it was really because they wanted a better high school for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
But I was
and at
the
that
one.
Point, they didn't know hemophilia was an issue.
That's right. you know, and well, they wanted a better school for all of us. I just happened to be the first one to mm-hmm. need it. And so we moved back to Nashville first, and then a year there was again not what they wanted, so we moved back to the small
town, 5,000.
5,000.
And your father moved jobs?
No, he stayed at the same job.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
So he was able to do that?
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
Yeah.
Did he stay there his whole career?
Yes.
Isn't that wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't happen much anymore.
No.
Did he like it?
Yeah. And I actually worked there with him for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know, sort of summers. And between sort of between college and going to the Air Force, I mm-hmm. worked with him.
The TV was just coming in.
Yes.
TV, so.
And we were pretty fortunate because, you know, back when we lived in this small town, Ridgetop, you know, Dad had been working for this radio TV parts mm-hmm. distributor, and all the company also sold radios and TVs and serviced them. So on the weekends, he would bring the service ones home. So it's not uncommon at all for us to have a living room full of people to watch Ed Sullivan because there was only a TV around for miles.
It's funny, we used to do the same thing. My house was filled with people, not because they didn't. It was just a social occasion.
Yeah.
And everybody watched Ed Sullivan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lawrence Welk. That was the big thing.
Yeah.
And drank Moxie.
That must have been up here.
At Cambridge.
Yeah.
Yes. So once they had this on their plate, the hemophilia, mm-hmm. you know then, did they choose to be quiet about it in terms of your brother, or did they?
They, got very active in the local hemophilia chapter.
And there was a local hemophilia chapter?
Later on there was,
mm-hmm.
you know, as, you know, by the time I was out and married and, you know, John was still having some problems
mm-hmm.
with this, then, and, you know, he was in contact with the doctors at Vanderbilt quite a lot. So I think through that exposure, Mom got to know some of the people associated with the local chapter. And then she became rather active in that.
Mm-hmm. Do you know whether your brother, I'm interested because it's an environment that most people I talk to, it's a very different environment
mm-hmm.
than most of the people I talk to grew up in. Did your brother encounter any prejudice at all? He's 13 years old.
No.
No? Good.
No, I don't think...
Not at school?
I don't think people were generally aware of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think our close neighbors would know that, you know, he was being a little more careful than they were. But, you know, again, while I had far less problems than he did, I think he had far fewer problems than the rest of the hemophilia general population.
Well, he had 13 years when not much happened.
That's right, yeah.
So he didn't have these bleeds and joint
right.
issues that most people have starting with infancy.
That's right.
But it's still a bigger blow for somebody 13 years old
yeah.
to suddenly, you haven't grown up with it as part of your
yeah.
life.
Mm-hmm.
And
but, you know, he never, except, you know, in when he needed to have treatment, when he had to go to the hospital for
mm-hmm.
something, he didn't take Factor as a regular sort of thing.
Only when he had a special.
Right.
And how do you think they found the medical treatment in that area? Did they go to Vanderbilt?
Go to Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm.
And was that fairly well-informed center?
Yes, it was. I think certainly for that area, they were pretty much on top of it, certainly as much as anyone
mm-hmm.
would have been at the time. I mean, when you realize that factor 9 deficiency or Christmas disease wasn't really officially diagnosed until the 50s, then, you know, and this wasn't a long time after that.
That's right.
They knew about it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Going back to you, here you are, you're in the Air Force. How did you feel about suddenly they didn't want you? That must have been both.
Yeah, it was, actually.
Hurtful and irritating.
Well, disappointing, I think.
Disappointing?
Because first year of college, I hadn't done so well.
Which was where?
Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm. And why was that, can I ask you?
I think... I just, for whatever reason, just wasn't ready for that level of study.
Mm-hmm.
Just had a hard time concentrating on it. Now, Claudia will tell you I have ADD, but and so probably that was a factor.
Mm-hmm. You did your better the second year?
Excuse me?
Did you do better the second year?
I went to the Air Force.
Oh, then. Straight out of the, after the first year?
After the first year. After the first year, I worked a while
mm-hmm.
with Dad, and then went into the Air Force.
So you pretty much decided after the first year that you, that really wasn't for you.
I knew that it, at the time it wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were you planning to study, or did you know?
At
Vanderbilt.
At Vanderbilt. Mm-hmm. Yes, I wanted to study chemistry. Because
mm-hmm.
I'd always, I mean, from, you know, past 4 or 5 years, I'd had this chemistry set that I played around with. And I was really pretty interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out pretty quickly that as a hobby it was one thing, and as something to try to pursue as a career was totally different. So I was doing a lot of rethinking about what I really wanted to do. And I thought I would probably, I thought that I wanted to do something more mechanical, maybe, you know, work with cars or motors or things like that. So I went to sign up for the Air Force and took all their tests and I scored okay on the mechanical stuff, but I scored pretty highly on the electronic stuff. And they said, well, you'd be crazy not to go into electronics because that's where our best schools are. So I did.
And you were headed to be an electrician in the Air Force.
Right.
And you have been there 1 year when this...
About a little less than a year.
Mm-hmm. And how did they handle it? You go and let them know. They mm-hmm. then do the test.
Mm-hmm.
And how did they handle... The severance.
They were really pretty good about it. You know, there was not like there was any choice on mm-hmm. my part, but sort of our company. I don't know what it was called. Just the head of the group that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
Spoke to me as I left and said he was sorry that it had to work out this way and wished me the best and mm-hmm. sent me on my way.
Do you have feelings about that decision? Do you think that they should have kept you?
Well, we had the hematologist at Vanderbilt
mm-hmm.
write them to, and we told him to let them know that I wasn't wanting to get out, that what I wanted was them to assign me to a job in a location where I could get reasonable medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they could not always guarantee that. So they got me out.
That must have been a blow.
Yeah, it was.
Now you were at a loose end again.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, what was happening to you physically? Anything different? Did it change your life at all? Things were going on as they always had?
Still had no real incidents mm-hmm. about that.
Did it
I mean, again, you know, again, I would bruise, but I didn't think, you know, it was never bad.
And had you had any infusions at that point?
No.
Did it worry you?
Well, yeah, I guess to some extent it did.
Mm-hmm.
Began seeing this girl. We got serious and we were talking about getting married. But there was the issue of hemophilia there. So, you know.
When did you tell her?
We had actually started going together before I left for the Air Force. So when I found out, I told her and said, you know, this is certainly going to affect my life later on, and so we can call this off if you want. But she didn't, and we didn't, and then later got married.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that affected your relationship?
I don't think so.
What did you do? You leave the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go from there? Life has changed.
Life has changed. I went back to work for a while with Dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then Mom found out about a career day or a college recruitment day back at the high school that I guess Jim was going to then. So she arranged with the principal for me to be able to go back and talk to some of these college recruiters. So I talked to, there was a fairly local, smaller state engineering school that I talked to that said, you know, I'd come out of Vanderbilt with a fairly poor record, but they were willing to let me in and have another try at it. So, and with the electronics training in the Air Force, I went back in and went into electrical engineering.
Did you like it?
I did like it, yeah. It took a while to really get into it,
mm-hmm.
but I did like it.
Did you like the school?
Yeah, it was a good school, yeah.
2 years? 4 years?
4 years.
Uh-huh. Why did it take a while to get into it? Was it just that you had lost speed with all the changes?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. You had a lot of changes in 2 or 3 years. Yeah. Big news.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, in the end, I was doing reasonably well.
Mm-hmm. And they stayed with you?
They did. Mm-hmm.
Good move for you?
Yes, it was a very good move for me.
Did you live there?
Yep. Lived in the dorms for a couple of years, and then I guess I stopped for a while. We got married. I worked for
You stopped school.
Stopped school for a while. Mm-hmm. Got married. Worked for maybe 6 months to a year. I don't remember right now. And then went back to the same school. Judith and I got an apartment, and we finished school there.
Did you have children?
No.
What, may I ask what happened to the marriage? Did you remain married for a long time, or did you?
Yeah. We were married for close to 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Did she want children, and it was a decision not to?
No, we eventually did, just not then did we have children.
Oh, I see. You did eventually have
yes.
a family.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You graduated from college, and then what did you do?
Graduated from college. Mm-hmm. Moved to first Illinois.
For a job?
For a job.
Which was?
Worked for Magnavox.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing, working on some government projects that were associated with sonobuoys. But worked there about a year and a half, and you know, working on government contract work was mm-hmm. just not what I wanted to do. So then I found a job at Heath Company in Michigan. It's the company that used to build the kits and that sort of
mm-hmm.
thing. And I got into their scientific instrument group there. And have actually been in that line since.
With that company?
Not with that company.
I don't even know if they still exist.
Well, they do, but I mean, that's, well, we went there, we moved from Illinois to Michigan, and had been there about a year, and we were trying to have children, but we're not able to at first. And we had started an adoption process. And when that was almost complete, then Judith got pregnant. So we had a son. And, you know, medically, fortunately, it was a son, mm-hmm. and then he wasn't affected.
That was your only child?
Yes.
What were your, did you have a lot of conversations around whether to have children or not?
Yeah. But I think we wanted children,
mm-hmm.
and I think probably rationalized it that, you know, by the time they would be, that I, you know, since I really hadn't had that much of an issue with it, that mm-hmm. we were hoping that they wouldn't either, and that, you know, medical science is going to progress, and someday this will continue to get easier.
And you're right.
Yeah.
And you were right. All this time that you're working and developing a career, were there any things that occurred, hemophilia-related incidents? Or did it remain fairly benign?
It remained quite benign, actually.
So not many bleeds?
Not many. Didn't really have joint problems. A few instances of bleeding from my kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
I never had factor. I had to take whole blood once or twice for some of those incidences. But mostly, just wasn't an issue.
Mm-hmm. Is bleeding from your kidneys the result of a bruise, or is it just was it just auto?
Yeah,
sort of auto bleed.
I think it must be sort of auto bleed because first time it happened, you know, they ran all sorts of tests to be sure my kidneys were okay,
mm-hmm.
and everything was okay, and then I guess it is common enough that, you know, it's just not a worry.
Mm-hmm.
About it. So.
Did Judith educate herself? Was she interested in the details of it? Or was she...
Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Not nearly to the extent of my mother.
Mm-hmm.
But she didn't really have to because, mm-hmm. you know...
Day-to-day
it was not an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with Mom, day-to-day it was more of an issue. With my younger brother.
Let's back up and tell me if you were, what was happening with your two brothers during this time.
Jim went on to school, did very well in school. I mean, he was pretty much an A student except for phys ed. And I don't know of any serious incidents
mm-hmm.
that he had at all. John, again, continued to have some problems, some with joints, but mostly he had terrible acne. I think I did as well, just not quite as bad as he did.
Hemophilia related?
No, but it caused problems with cysts, which would then have to be drained, which then became an issue.
Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he had kind of a tough time.
He had a tough time.
All the way through.
Pretty much.
And what happened to him? What was his path?
John was much more centered around the arts.
Mm-hmm.
So he... went to Memphis State, got his eventually got his MFA degree, and but as with artists, that's not a financially secure career path. So
doesn't mean you're going to get a job,
right? Actually, I don't really remember all the details, but. He eventually got connected with Hemophilia Health Services, so he now works with them. I guess they've been bought by mm-hmm. someone now, but he does a lot of their retreats and planning and
mm-hmm.
does a lot of patient overseeing now, so he's very active in the community.
So he found a good spot for himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And where does he live?
He lives in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. So he had landed on his feet in the end.
Yeah.
Did he have many infusions once as he grew up?
You know, I guess not a lot mm-hmm. compared to what someone with severe hemophilia would have.
Right. And but HIV and Hep C didn't become an issue?
Hep C did. Mm-hmm. HIV did not. He's been very fortunate to not be affected by HIV. All of us are. But he has had bouts with hepatitis, and he does have liver problems.
Mm-hmm. Now. When was he diagnosed with that, do you remember? Early 90s?
Yeah, that's probably about right. Mid to early.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, early 90s is probably about right.
Can you remember that period when it began to appear that HIV and Hep C were real issues, could be real issues? Well, obviously you remember it, but
yeah.
Can you tell me what that felt like in among you? Was it, were you very concerned? Of course, you hadn't had a long history of infusions.
I hadn't had a history of infusions.
Mm-hmm. John?
John had some.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, it's interesting because that word didn't get out to us, I think, until it was almost over with mm-hmm. by the time we really were aware of the real dangers mm-hmm. involved with that.
Did you go for testing? Any of you?
Yeah. Yeah.
All of you?
All of us.
Were you concerned, or did you feel fairly at ease because of your history?
Well, I think since I knew I'd had no factor,
mm-hmm.
then felt pretty safe about it.
Of course. John?
John, I'm sure, was nervous about mm-hmm. it, although we didn't live in close proximity, and we didn't talk about it on the phone much.
Your mother, your mother was still...
She was still alive.
She was alive
still very active still.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure she was concerned about it as well.
She was. Mm. That was a tough time.
Yeah.
So you worked and you had this son
mm-hmm.
with Judith. And can you say whether the hemophilia affected you personally in any way during those years? Would you say it affected either your life or your relationship? Or
I don't think that it did. Mm-hmm. I really don't think that it did affect it, because there just were not any serious incidents.
Right. You weren't in pain.
Yeah.
You weren't restricted.
That's right.
What happened then? The marriage just ended.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we still talk to each other. She's on the West Coast now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I eventually met Claudia, actually through my son.
Mm-hmm. And life started again.
And I started again, yes.
Did you tell me your brother John married or not? Did he?
He married. Yes, he did marry. And he had, they adopted a son
mm-hmm.
from Korea. And then he later divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think that affected his marriage? Or?
I think it probably did.
I'm just interested in the
yeah.
In the way the disease does affect
yeah.
some relationships.
I'm sure.
Whether you know much about that.
I don't. It wasn't talked about directly
mm-hmm.
a lot. But I do know that, you know, John being affected by this so much affected his employment, his ability to mm-hmm. earn money to support his family. His wife was a school teacher, so she had steady employment, so she was able to keep going with that. But still, it was not a comfortable situation with mm-hmm. John having heavy medical expenses
mm-hmm.
and not being able to produce an income.
there are all kinds of them, and having a family can be an issue. Do you think they decided not to have children, or did they?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I suspect that they did decide not to have children.
Your other brother?
My other brother never married.
Do you think that's why, or just never married?
I don't know. I mean, he is living with his roommate from college now. Mm-hmm. Still, there's no real. He's not out in any way, but I suspect that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Would that have been anathema in your family at the time?
Not to my mother.
No.
I don't think to Dad either, but certainly to the extended family it would have been.
Your mother must have been remarkably modern and...
She was.
Intelligent. She's in a very small place.
Mm-hmm.
Very Methodist.
Yeah.
She really had a lot of verve, didn't she?
She absolutely did.
What was her name?
Faye.
Faye.
Actually, well, Crazy Faye.
Crazy Faye.
But it was
and
Faye.
A lot of spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Although, as a family, you seem to have talking intimately didn't seem to be. I mean, it was a
no. We didn't.
Not a surprise. I mean, lots of families in the 50s. And
now, I should also say that we're pretty certain now that Mom was also affected by this, even though, you know, at the time, you know, people said that just didn't happen, mm-hmm. that women were not affected. But I think they realize now that indeed women are affected.
What would you say, looking back, were the ways in which it affected?
Well, I mean, from a physical bleeding standpoint,
mm-hmm.
because I guess I don't know any real incidents she had, but she was aware of it and told us that, you know, she felt that she also was affected by this.
Mm-hmm. Anemic ever?
Yeah, yeah.
Hmm. I didn't know that they had found that women exhibited some symptoms, at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So you were lucky in having her, though, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely.
And certainly your brother was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your father was quieter.
Mm-hmm. But very supportive.
Very supportive. It was a nice family.
Yeah, it really was.
Your surgery, you had surgery.
Mm-hmm.
8 years ago?
About 8 years ago.
And obviously Claudia knew that you had hemophilia.
Yeah.
You told her.
Mm-hmm.
When you told her, I wouldn't think, knowing her, that that was a real issue.
No, it wasn't.
A challenge, maybe.
Yeah.
But not an issue. What happened with the open heart surgery?
Well, I went in. Now, I guess actually what happened, Claudia went in to our cardiologist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'd been seeing him on and off just for general health reasons. I think in one of the tests that he had run, just as a general screening test, an echogram indicated that I had a bicuspid aortic valve. And he said, at the time, he said, you know, just I need to watch this as it goes on because they are more prone to calcify than others. And that was pretty much it. Then Claudia was in one day to see him, and he treated her. And as she was leaving, she said, I think you should get Bob back in here because I've been doing some reading, and it turns out that this may be more of an issue than we had at first thought. So I came back in, they ran more tests, and found that indeed the valve wasn't working properly, and that there was an aneurysm around the aorta, the opening to the at the opening to the heart. So,
in a serious place.
Yeah,
they're all serious.
Yeah. So, he sent me home, and you know, said we need to schedule surgery pretty quickly. And in the meantime, don't exert yourself. Don't lift anything. So, you know, Claudia was not there when I was told this first, but then she came to the doctor's office while I was there. And she said, but, you know, he can't be operated on like this. And the doctor said, it will be fine. They'll work it out. And he was right. I don't think he knew all that was involved with it. But
she was right.
The doctor was right in that it certainly worked out, but there were issues that had to be dealt with that I think that he wasn't truly aware of.
How did they deal with it?
Well, what happened after that was that Claudia got on the phone with the New England Hemophilia Society, talked to Kathy there, and he managed the whole thing. He got me set up with then Dr. Lawrence Cohn, who's the chief of surgery there, and Dr. Ewenstein, the hematologist, also picked the anesthesiologist and that team. So everything was pretty well set up for me. And they got me in the day before, started giving me factor. And then, just before the surgery, they took some of my blood to later then give back to me after the surgery. So they were really on top of it all the way.
Were you afraid? Nervous?
I was, well, certainly was nervous.
You'd be nervous anyway.
Yes.
Difficult surgery.
And yeah, I was afraid. And I think the really most depressing moment of that came when I'd asked about, you know, what's the lifetime of this valve they're going to put in, and my cardiologist says, well, they last a lifetime because it's an artificial valve.
There's an answer.
Yeah.
Last a lifetime.
I mean, yeah. I hadn't thought about it that way. But I then found out, because of my hemophilia, they couldn't use that type of valve.
I see.
Because that type of valve requires blood thinners to be taken with it.
Oh, I see.
So what that meant was that I would at some point have to do it again.
Mm-hmm. And that they have an older type valve.
Yeah.
Older fashioned.
Mm-hmm. Well, or at least different. One that doesn't have an unlimited lifetime. So that to me was the most discouraging part.
Were you in the hospital by that time?
No.
It didn't give you pause about having the surgery at all?
No.
You never reconsidered?
No, that wasn't the issue. I mean, we were just waiting to get scheduled by the surgeon at that time, so.
Mm-hmm. How did you get over that discouragement? How did you move yourself off, or you just move through it and have the surgery?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly Claudia was very supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like there was a choice. You know, if I had to do it again, I would have to do it again.
Well, the choice was don't do it at all. Do it this way.
Yeah. Well, that wasn't a choice either. I mean, not doing it really wasn't. The way it was described to us wasn't a choice.
Mm-hmm. Did you then or any other time seek counseling or talk to other hemophiliacs or go to any kind of group that...
I didn't, no. So I talked to... I talked to the doctors, but I didn't talk to anyone else.
They ask, are you a person of strong faith? Was that part of what supported you, or is that not?
I think I have a pretty strong faith. It's not a traditional sort of faith. I'm a Unitarian. Wouldn't call myself Christian anymore. I still believe that I have a strong faith.
That must have been quite a move for you to say that you don't call yourself a Christian anymore. That must have been quite a change for you.
Yeah.
Certainly from Faye to now.
That's right.
May I ask that that happened overnight, or, you know, was it an accident, or was it just a growing...
I think it was just a growing...
change.
Mm-hmm.
Philosophically, you changed.
That's right. Yeah.
As we should and do. not a bad thing.
Yeah. I think, you know, there was a while after Judith and I first got married that we didn't go to church. Then as David started growing up, I think we both felt the need to get him back into that environment and expose him to that. So Judith had been a Baptist growing up. I'd been a Methodist growing up. I mean, while we were dating, we went to both churches. I mean, we were so churched.
Something was busy.
Oh, it was.
My goodness.
And so, by that time we were living here.
Mm-hmm.
David was, I guess, about 4.
You'd come to the company you work for now?
No.
You changed companies?
I changed companies. So we went to the Baptist church. Well, that was an experience here. You know, not having been in church for a while and, you know, sort of having a bit broader view of the world by that time. There was this Baptist church here in New England talking about how wrong it was to teach evolution in school.
Still.
How it was immoral for women to wear slacks, you know, that
in Massachusetts. That's what I would have expected in Tennessee.
Yeah. I said, this isn't the place for us.
Yeah, you both agreed.
Yes. Judith had been, she had been sort of exploring you know, sort of other spiritual paths.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried the Unitarian church. We lived in Groton at the time. We tried the Unitarian church there, and they had a part-time minister that was, you know, felt like a part-time church.
Mm-hmm.
But then they got a new minister, and I went back by myself for a while. And the new person was just really in tune with what we felt, we believed. And so we got David involved in the church school there. So continued mm-hmm. with that.
Did you, when you went to get different jobs, did you speak about being a hemophiliac?
Or yeah.
Did that ever affect your getting a job?
No. You know, the only issue would have been insurance. Mm-hmm. So.
But that wasn't not an that wasn't.
But that turned out to be not an issue. I'd never had any absenteeism because mm-hmm. of my health.
Did you find that kind of nerve-wracking? Here you be the job you interested you. Did that ever mm-hmm. cross your mind? Because it hasn't
yeah.
affected you hugely. It must have been tempting. To just not go there.
Yeah, I guess I was afraid to not go there, mm-hmm. you know, afraid of the consequences of that more than I was afraid of facing it up front.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, it wasn't an issue with anyone that I worked with. So.
Been happy with your career?
Yes, I've been very happy with it. I've been, actually been with the last company for 19 years now. So.
So hemophilia really affected you twice. Primarily, one mm-hmm. was in the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
really changed the whole direction of your
That's
life.
That's right.
And then with the valve surgery.
That's right.
Those are the two big things.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think about what life would have been like in the Air Force if you'd stayed on that path?
Mm-hmm. I've thought about it, yeah. And it's sort of hard to imagine what it would have been like mm-hmm. now looking back at that. Certainly would have been different. Wouldn't have had the opportunities that I have now, I think. There would have been a different set, but mm-hmm. just really don't know.
Do you believe in destiny?
Yeah, I believe in destiny.
It's not a question you're probably supposed to be asking.
No, that's quite all right. I don't think so in any strict sense of the word. I think we are, to a very large extent, in control of the direction that our lives take. Now, what you just pointed out, that I was certainly in those two instances, I wasn't in control. But certainly, there was some level of control about how each of those was handled.
That's right. That's where this wonderful Chinese saying that character is destiny, which is, I think, what I believe. Because,
mm-hmm.
yes, something happened you could do nothing about. Your character dictates
mm-hmm.
what you do with that
mm-hmm.
information
mm-hmm.
and that occurrence. And that's destiny, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That always appeals to me. It's sort of right in the middle of self-direction and self-determination.
Yeah.
How would you say your brothers have ended up vis-a-vis the hemophilia? You know, how significant has it been? Certainly for your younger brother more than for either
That's right.
of you.
It
has affected his life, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. It has.
Mm-hmm.
I think in a very large way. And he still has medical problems with it,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, it brought him in to a career that he likes,
mm-hmm.
and he is very actively serving the hemophilia community.
So it's brought him to a good place in an interesting
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
A caring profession.
That's right.
For a sensitive individual.
Mm-hmm.
And remind me what your other brother does for work.
My other brother was... A engineering physicist, worked for Martin Marietta on missiles.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he made enough money to retire, he retired. So he's living in the hills of Asheville, North Carolina.
The beautiful hills of Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes.
With his friend, and his friend is retired.
Yes, they worked together.
And they have a great time.
And they have
a great life.
They have a great life. They help their neighbors. They are involved mm-hmm. in all sorts of charitable things.
Isn't that wonderful?
And They live very frugally,
mm-hmm.
but very well.
As your family did.
Yeah. Yeah.
We learned to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Early on. Is there anything else you'd like to say about the whole, obviously the hemophilia is the thrust of what mm-hmm. I'm talking about, but I'm always so interested in all the other aspects of life are all impacted as well. So.
Sure. I think after my surgery, I was just deeply aware of how caring the hemophilia community is. The doctors I met, the Kathy and the other people at the Hemophilia Treatment Center, the home care people that we had.
Any other patients?
I didn't really know any other patients.
Mm-hmm. So that connection isn't usually made.
Right.
But that group came forward.
They did.
And gave you support and encouragement.
Yeah. So I wanted to do something. So I got back in touch with Kathy. And so pretty much since then, I've been involved with their newsletter committee. So mm-hmm. I work with them a few times a year.
Mm-hmm. Any work again with say, children who are coming up?
I haven't been. I mean, I would, but that opportunity hasn't really presented itself.
Well, their issues are so different than
they
their
are.
Brothers.
Yeah.
It's
they really are.
It's a whole different world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think your brother's ever resentful, sad about that difference of 30 years or 20 years really made such a difference for him?
Oh, I think for John, it's very definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Because there isn't any doubt about it. I mean, it made his life a struggle for a large number of years.
And you have the only grandchild.
That's right. That's right.
When did your mother pass away?
Let's see. It's been about 4 years ago.
Not too long.
Not too long. Mm-hmm.
So she certainly knew her grandson.
Yes.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it affected her long term, or did she? She just did the best she could, and.
I think she certainly just did the best she could with it. I don't think she anguished over it, but I think she as with everything, put her whole self into it and did all she could about it.
Did it impact them financially?
Yes. Yes.
In a big way?
I think in a very,
in a substantive way.
Yeah.
Must have done. Did your father have health care?
Yes. But, after, of course, John got to a certain age, that wasn't effective anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So it strained them. There isn't any doubt about it.
When did your father pass away?
He's still living.
Is he?
Yes.
How old is he?
He is 83.
Uh-huh. And healthy and hale?
Quite healthy, yes.
In Nashville?
In Nashville, living by himself in his house.
Uh-huh. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Keeping busy,
yeah. Just in his own way, with his just routine every...
Yeah.
So.
I just wanted to ask you, said looking back, once you looked back, you could see there might have been signs of this affliction in the family in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What was the nature of that? Did your mother remember?
Yeah, my mother remembers people in the family who mm-hmm. would have problems that she now would recognize as possible. And her own brother, and didn't know. And her brother had serious problems with bleeding, internal bleeding.
And so nobody diagnosed it?
Nobody diagnosed it.
Did he die prematurely, or did he?
Yeah, he did. It was exacerbated by alcohol, but he did die.
So he probably had a very tough life because
he had a very tough life because he also was not able to maintain employment.
Hmm. So there's the answer right
yes.
there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Her brother, and yet nobody really really observed that.
That's right.
No. It wasn't very long ago, was it?
It was not all that long ago.
That wasn't...
Yeah.
I was just rereading about Tsar Nicholas, and of course his son. I mean, that changed the whole course of history.
That's right.
Because the Tsarina was so...
Yeah.
Rasputin came on the scene.
Mm.
And they did know what it was, but there was nothing they could do except
right.
be careful.
Yeah.
And there, for that went the Russian Revolution.
Yes.
It's really quite a powerful. Mm. I think it ran all the way through the Queen Victoria's line, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a lot of historical. Anything else that you'd like to add in terms of, you got through your surgery, and I will just go back to what Claudia said. Did you feel that your attitude changed? She said. You know.
Well, I think what she's referring to, I never saw the need before that to keep a store factor on hand, to even have checkups at the hemophilia treatment center.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess in that sense there was some denial, but it's I don't know it's so much denial as it's just not considering it a problem.
It wasn't to the forefront,
yeah.
was it?
Yeah.
So now you do keep that.
Yeah.
And do you go for checkups?
About once a year, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why not? Of course, you have the added issue of the heart, so you want
That's
to
right.
be sure that all is well and that you're ready if something happens.
That's right.
Isn't it fabulous that they can do these surgeries?
It is amazing.
Because a lot of people I talk to, and your brother, having teeth out was such an issue.
That's right.
And you're having open heart surgery, and we're talking 40 years, 35 years.
That's right. Exactly right. I mean,
that is really an astounding.
Certainly 20, maybe even 15 years ago, I wouldn't have lived through it.
That's correct. So timing was on your side.
Yes.
And that they take the chance and are so brave and courageous to undertake that.
Exactly.
You know, people can talk about healthcare and, litigation, but people are still taking on the high risk places to go.
That is it. Yes. And that takes an investment.
Yes, it does. Absolutely, certainly a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So I ask you again, anything that I've missed that you would like to add?
I can't think of anything.
I really appreciate you talking to
me. Well, it was very nice talking with you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you very much. And I know you had to come home early, and I...